Hello, everyone, and welcome to season two of Glam and Guts. I am Mickey Fitzpatrick, and I am joined by my very sexual, hot, God, I love her so much.
I don't know what's more surprising, the fact that you call me sexual or the fact that we made it to season two.
Both. Both at this point. But you know what? We're not alone.
No, today we're not. For the first time ever.
There's another sexual. No.
Yeah! That's what I wanted.
Sexual, stunning, gorgeous queen here with us. Kaylee Swenson is in the studio here in Los Angeles. Thank you, babe.
Yes, absolutely. I love coming on podcasts, especially yours.
Oh, thank you. we did something different yesterday. We just all decided to go to Disneyland together.
Yeah, it was fun.
And we brought Delphine and your mama. We got to meet your mama, who's just a riot.
Yeah, she's a big kid.
And we rode all the rides, all of them.
Mm-hmm. I actually really got to ride stuff that I haven't ridden before, so it was pretty cool.
Well, there's no 10-year-olds with us, so
yeah.
It's like...
Well, I mean, a lot of the Star Wars and all that stuff was always so crowded before that I just never got on it.
Right.
So I don't know, the Matterhorn was always my favorite when I was a kid, but when we did it yesterday, I was like, geez, this is rough.
It is hard, right?
Yeah.
It's like you need to bring a chiropractor with
you. Yeah, I don't remember it being like that. So
it's brutal.
I liked the little choo-choo train one. And I
liked Thunder.
Yeah, I liked the Mickey Mouse one a lot.
Oh, the Runaway Railway?
Yeah.
It's like super, what did you say? You're like, it's overstimulating. And
it was overstimulating in a good way. I feel like if I would have been back in the days, I would have wanted to take mushrooms.
Oh, do you imagine that?
Well, the Matterhorn reminded me of my last bang. It was really rough. I think we mentioned that. Your mom and I, we had some good times in the back of those carts.
Yeah?
Delphine and I, we were kind of
what?
Wait, what's happening in the back?
I know.
Beyond talking about running trains, we were discussing that.
Okay, I thought you flipped with my mom a little bit.
I mean, we may have. Yeah. I don't know. Mama was showing me some things back there.
She'll show you some moves.
Mama's
she
very did. Energetic.
Yeah. No, but I think that was 19 years for me to go back to Disney.
So long.
Land, because I'm near Disney World. So Disneyland, so Star Wars, all this, but the Matterhorn was iconic. You were explaining the technology behind it.
Oh, yeah, it was the world's first, I guess it's tube steel roller coaster ever. So it's very iconic. That's why it's so darn rough, though. It's nobody ever done
I have no idea.
Steel roller coaster before.
Very, very nerdy of you.
I'm a super nerd.
Yeah, I love it.
This is what I am.
I love it.
As we all know.
I was actually cute watching you react to the Star Wars stuff because you're such a fan.
Right? I had some moments. I feel
have you on camera. I'm
really
looking at all the Star Wars stuff and I just hear you going, it's this is amazing.
We went back for a second time. Yesterday, we went back and we almost...
Oh, we rode it twice.
Yeah.
We left. Yeah.
That area was pretty vacant, to the side. And we had our own moments. And I'm literally sitting there am I getting emotional because of Star Wars?
But it is. It's very stimulating. There's so many colors and lights and sounds. And you're just wow. You feel like a kid.
Yeah.
You're literally reliving a childhood memory. And you see all these things in the movies. And then suddenly you're standing in front of a giant TIE fighter. And you're like... Oh,
what?
I'm literally 10 years old right now. I think at one point I said that on one of the rides. I'm like, hi, I'm 10.
Yeah.
I think we were saying nostalgia is so important to releasing dopamine. And it's it's exciting. And I think that's what brings me to you is the nostalgia. I have to ask off the bat, because after spending time with you yesterday, I was telling Gabby, you are our modern day bombshell with the Jenny McCarthys, the Pamela Andersons.
I don't know if I'm up there with them, but that's a very big compliment.
Because what you do on social media, first of all, the vulnerability and telling your story, I think of sobriety and spirituality, I think is very exciting. But thinking of what Pamela Anderson's done with her career and how she's really big with an animal activism and PETA. And then you have Jenny McCarthy, who is speaking about kids with autism with her own son. And I think bombshells, we had this idea of growing up, they're sex, sex, sex and da, 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 da.
No.
But there's so many layers to that. And I put you in that category. And after spending time with you and being around the human Kaylee beyond just the Viking Barbie, which I got to know about the name, but I want to know who were some of the women, men even, who you idolized growing up.
Oh, well, the biggest idol. Marilyn Monroe was a huge one for me. I loved her. We love a mentally ill baddie. But
oh, absolutely.
and she was smarter than people gave her credit for and all that. And I just think that she was kind of a genius in the way she marketed herself. And she kind of worked the system.
Okay, wait. I don't know much about Marilyn being a genius.
She was very smart. She knew like the psychology behind seduction, and like her faces that she would make were like pre-orgasmic faces and pictures and things like that, that like totally hooked men in, and kind of, it's pretty cool.
Self-study Marilyn.
She was amazing.
This is why I'm still single.
And she was just such, like, you could just see that she was such a light, and she was just used a lot and kind of taken advantage of during that time. And then Marilyn Manson.
Oh yeah, you mentioned him yesterday. We were talking about
him
like
every day.
Your first crushes.
He was one of my first crushes. Him and Frankenfurter from Rocky Horror Picture Show.
That
blew my mind.
Oh my god!
I was going. Wait, what? Really?
So the androgynous.
I love androgynous.
Why
do you think I have so many trans friends?
Okay, wait. Here's a random question.
And I feel like I have like a little androgyny about me.
Okay, you know I see it though. I see it, especially when you're like getting into the Halloween spirit and the cosplay.
Right.
Oh yeah.
I love to play with both sides. I love to like play like the, put the sexy in with the masculine. And
yeah.
Do all that. I don't know. It's just like, it's.
Would you get a hall pass from Aaron if Marilyn Manson just showed up?
I've told him, if that happens, but he's married. So, and also he's a bad boy now. Everyone's mad at him.
Oh, we're just saying in a perfect world.
Yeah, Manson's in trouble right
now. Before I think cancel culture really even took off, he was trying
to get canceled, and then now they're like, wait, now we'll cancel you. I'm like, oh,
it was delayed reaction.
Yeah, but it was like some like sexual misconduct they put against him or whatever. Yeah, I won't go into that because I don't want to.
That's a whole other thing.
It makes it a little too serious
right now. Yeah,
but yeah, when I was like 12, that was like my huge.
Well, him and Twiggy Ramirez, yeah. I always thought like
they were.
I may have masturbated.
You and
that.
Me both.
Oh, absolutely.
I feel so older. I'm like, who's Twiggy?
He was like the bassist, and they had kind of a like a.
Oh, in Manson's band.
Yeah, because they were both straight, but there was something very not
that
straight
makeup
about it.
And
they would be like making out in pictures and stuff, and I was like, this is so.
And
hot.
He had the dreads.
Oh, and the video "Long Hard Road Out of Hell" when he has the two twins, and one's a girl and one's a boy, but they look exactly the same, and he's between them, like doing stuff with them, and I was like, this is so.
Yeah.
Hot.
Like, yeah, and all his concerts too, he would like do the most fucked up shit. Like, but him and Twiggy had this relationship on stage. Like, their performance is always this. More.
If you can't, you cannot perform like that and have nothing going on.
Oh,
backstage.
It was pretty sexy stuff. Yeah.
Okay. I love it.
Like, I kind of like.
I think with me, I'm very much. I don't have like a particular attraction to anyone in general. It's always been about like. The energy and like
love
the
that
very like some people are just sexy.
Yes.
Know? Like,
you
and I don't care.
It. It's in the air, right?
Yeah. I don't care if male, female, you know, Marilyn Manson, whatever he is.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Yeah. whatever you're feeling in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, well, I think that like going back to like with Marilyn Monroe, and you know, she was very over-sexualized a lot because she knew what she was doing. Like, again, it was her brand. Like, when she was Norma at home.
She looked like a normal girl.
Right.
She knew how to turn it on, too. They said there was, like, a lot of people that said she'd be, like, walking down the street normal, like, no makeup on. And she'd go, do you want me to become her? And they would be like, what do you mean? And she would just turn this light on. And they call it, like, the Marilyn Monroe effect, where she would, like, just instantly,
flip
like, people would be looking at her. And she didn't change anything. She didn't change her hair. Didn't change her makeup. It was just all in the way she moved and the way she acted and what she embodied.
Oh my
god.
So
she was real in tune.
And see, that alone would make me flood the basement. That alone. Like, knowing
I might need a towel as we speak.
Yeah.
And that's, if it's me, it's probably not a good thing because it's not going to be what you think it is.
Yeah. Is it Gabby approved?
I don't know.
I just really think, like, I think people focus too much on the details.
Yes.
You know, I think we're all just like, I'm a weirdo though. I'm like, we're all just like having a human experience. We're all like the spirits.
I love that. Yeah. We're all weirdos though.
We're all weirdos.
And
honestly, I prefer the weirdos.
But you know,
we're way better.
Yeah.
We're way more fun.
But that's a good business. When I go through your social media, there's a lot of story to be told. Mm-hmm. And
we went through your social media.
And we did. And we were really, I love to say this a lot, and Gabby likes to make fun of me, but I was very touched.
I'm glad I could touch you.
Here we go.
See?
It's a lot of touching on this podcast. Yeah. There's especially with Nikki.
I loved it. You know that, when I touch myself. Like that song, I just love it. But going through it, you could almost not know, like, again, like, take away Disney. Gabby and I, we were really connecting, like, you are you. You are you. Like, going mm-hmm. through social media, connecting with, like, your post, your, oh my God, which, by the way, like, the funniest shit you post, like, the plane stuff. Like, I
well, we were talking about that the other day. Yeah.
That's your business.
You see is what you get with me, for sure. That's one thing I can say. I think authenticity is one of my, it's a flex for me. And I don't flex about a lot of things, but I feel like I stay true.
Well, you said yesterday, authenticity is a higher vibrational state than even gratitude and love, yeah. Right?
It is. It's the highest state. That's why I really encourage people to be their authentic self, whatever that looks like.
It's powerful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look, yes. Mickey literally tackled your Viking Barbie account, and I tackled your Kaylee account, and we were just like, psh, let's see what we got here.
And there's a bunch of weirdness in there. It's like, I have a lot of facets. You know,
yeah, I don't think it was so weird, just more beautiful and much storytelling.
Well, like some of it's funny, some of it's like super like serious when I talk about sobriety, some of it's super like goofy, and then some of it's sexy, and then it's just like everything, just like a mosaic of a person.
Of your amazing mm-hmm. life. Speaking of mosaics, should we mm-hmm. get into Slash It or Stash It?
I think so. So okay. We have a fun game that we've created, and we like to really celebrate emotional, spiritual, healthy humans, right?
Right.
But one of the things that we created with Slash It and Stash It is, instead of it just being images of and describing your outfits and, like, you know, we want to know where you were in the photo, mentally, emotionally. And some of these photos that we found really, they were storytelling. And we're going to start off with a bang.
Okay.
Because this one, before we even like had the conversation of, oh my God, we have to have Kaylee here, I was like, wait, Gabby, this is one of your buds. And I met you at Gabby's match.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Improv. And I said, wait, can we talk about this moment? So
even I'm like, what freaking one is this? Show us already. You're killing me.
Please talk about this moment for me.
The infamous hot dog video.
Yeah.
It's very infamous.
So, yes, it went really viral. It went everywhere. And it wasn't something that I expected to go that viral. But we were going to it was like the Jake Paul match. And I was with my buddies, Ryan Pownall and Churdleys. You know, obviously the goofy Churdleys. Love him.
Yes.
And we went up to the snack bar and I said, Ryan, buy me some hot dogs. And he's like, why? And I'm like, because I'm going to feed you one out of my mouth. And he was like, all right. So he like got the two hot dogs and we sat down and he was like so focused. He's like really hard to wrangle.
Okay.
And I was like, dude, just get, I'm going to feed you the hot dog. He's okay. So then I like did it and then I just pulled it out and he kind of grabbed it and Churdleys was filming it. And the guy next to me that was reacting, we didn't know him.
Oh, you don't know him?
No. He was a fighter. And so like he just like was like, okay, like I see what's happening, bet. You know,
his
like
eyes are like, just big as plate.
Oh, yeah. Dude,
he totally played. I think he was probably partly shocked, but also playing for us.
Yeah.
Because you know? He's like, yeah. So he was actually rad. I ended up following him afterwards and like we talked to him the whole match. He was really nice. But yeah, he totally like, I feel like he made the video because it was already a crazy video. There's people all around. And
but it was just like a random thing you decided to do?
It was random and that we did not know that guy. And like, it was just everything fell into place. And then we posted it that night. I was like, I did one with a chicken finger. And then
I didn't see that one.
Yeah. So the guy next to me, the one that reacted, I go, hey, you want my hot dog? And he's like, no, I already ate. But if you do what you just did to that one, I'll eat your chicken. And yes! I said, okay. So I deep throated the chicken and I fed him and he ate it. And I was like, this guy's dope. And then like, he, ended up like, we got a video of that. And I think Churdleys posted that one right then. And I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to post this hot dog one real quick. And it just went crazy.
It exploded.
And then,
the hot dog was great.
I think Churdleys even got like, I think it was like 40 million on Facebook or 50 million on Facebook.
Oh,
and then
God.
My Facebook, I think it was 12 million. And then it was like 15 million on Instagram. And then like, so If it,
it took up on X too. Yeah, that's where I saw it.
If was it was like, just what? Me that posted it, it probably would have been like over 120 million. But because we all shared it, he posted it, I posted it, it was like spread over. And then obviously like World Star posted it. And then
everybody
Twitter everywhere. It's on the front page of Reddit for like
yes!
a month straight.
Yes.
I was like, oh my God. And then I had a meme coin.
Called, no, you didn't.
Yes, Hot Dog Barbie.
Shut it.
And I was like, I was like, where did this come from? Like, it's just so funny.
All because I just deep throated a hot dog.
Yeah, it was really funny. It was crazy.
You meet a lot of girlfriends of mine who we see this video at work, and I'm like sitting there, and I was like, God, I know of who that is. I have to tell Gabby. My girlfriend's like, wait, what? Can she give classes? Because.
Yeah, it was funny because there were so many people that were sending it to me that don't follow anything sexy or anything crazy. So it was everywhere. Like people that are like normal, like, and they're like, is this you? Like my family? I'm like, oh my God. Like, yeah.
Yeah, there's like news, there's like politics, it's like front page, and there's Kaylee.
Just right there. This just was everywhere. It went everywhere. That's a truly viral moment where it's like, I've had videos that have gotten more views than that, but weren't as viral. They weren't across every.
Did they get a meme coin?
They didn't get a meme coin.
Jesus, you have hit the pinnacle when you got a meme coin.
I made it. I made it, Grandpa.
Mom, I'm here. I did it.
So I guess it's safe to say the photo, because you get to pick these photos. We're going to say, you know, you get to slash it or stash it.
So like, dump it or keep it.
Keep it.
Yeah.
I'm all for that.
I'm proud of it.
You should be, girl. I'm
proud of my moment.
Okay. Again, emotional. You could dive into this, but Gabby actually discovered this photo and we were all like, there was a lot of movement emotionally. So I'm going to show you this. Mm. I got to know how you felt in this moment.
I remember not having a great day because it was like, I remember like they did my hair really tight and, and it was like, it was overwhelming. I'm very like, kind of like private, you know, even as a kid, I was like kind of shy. So it was a lot, you know, with like lights in front of me and stuff. And then my grandmother was there and she actually spilled her soda all over me at the beginning of the premiere, like right as it started. And so I was so mad because I was freezing cold and I wanted to leave. And like, so I was just a little kid, you know what I mean? And like, it was, but it was also very, you know, I was proud that, you know, we were at the premiere for Batman and my dad was the Bane.
That's what it was for. Yeah. And for everybody that's listening and not watching, it's a photo of Kaylee. What were you like?
We were at the premiere.
10 or 11?
I was 11. We're at the premiere of Batman and Robin with my dad and my mom. Yeah.
Yep. Aaron's all dressed to the nines, looking good. Jeep is looking very handsome.
And he's a handsome guy.
Just a monster. Yeah. I didn't realize he was Bane until after you guys left last night and Mickey and I were talking about it. I was like, wait a minute. Like, I knew he was a wrestler, didn't know he was Bane.
Yeah,
and I grew up watching that movie. I must have watched it 100 times when I was a kid. And I was like, God, that is a massive effing human being.
He's huge.
Like, yeah. Massive human being.
Yeah. He's a big old teddy bear. Teddy bear that could kill you with his bare hands. But
he'd just squish you like a watermelon.
Yeah.
As a young girl with a daddy that's like that big. Like, how does that, is that comforting and like make you feel safe when you were young? Like, how did that feel?
Yeah, it did. But I remember being very, like, as a kid, feeling like he got a lot of attention.
Okay.
And so I felt like friends didn't want to necessarily be my friends because I was kind of an outcast when I was a kid. Nobody really wanted to hang out with me. But when my dad would come to the school, then everyone wanted to be my friend. And so it was like kind of a thing. And I remember having a talk with him like, well, he's like, aren't you happy I came? And like, look, everyone took pictures and this and that. And he thought he was doing a good thing. And I was like, well, yeah, but nobody's really my friend. He's like, you care that your friends like your dad? And I'm like, no, I just like would like them to like me for me. You know what I mean?
There was that definitely really interesting because Mia's 14 and she took a lot of shit from kids in the last couple of years. She was bullied a lot, like picked on a lot. And when my social media took off and people figured out like who I was and she was my daughter, things kind of changed. And so now she's very adamant, like with her social media, she says, Dad, don't tag me in this. Like, don't put it on your story. She's like, I want to build myself and what people like me for me, not because of you.
It's a thing. And you're probably a little more like, my dad was a little less emotionally mature at that time, immature at that time. Okay. You're very emotionally mature.
Oh, thanks.
He was very much like, he took it personally. You know what I mean? Like, he was like, really? Oh, I'm trying to help you out. And you don't like, you know what I mean? And I was like, I'm a kid, you know, like I just wanted, I'm a weirdo. Nobody likes me. And all of a sudden everybody wants to be my friend. So like,
interesting.
So he took it a little personally, but he meant well, you know what I mean?
Yeah. He had a good heart, right? Yeah, in the moment.
Yeah. He thought his heart was in the right place. I think he just felt like he wanted to be appreciated for it more. And I was like, yeah, it's kind of sucks.
You said something really interesting. You said you felt like a social outcast back then, but you said it last night too. Mm-hmm. I think it was so funny. We're in Star Wars land and Galaxy's Edge, and we're at a little kiosk, and Kaylee's like looking at a shirt she wanted to buy, but it was a kid's shirt. It was like kid size. She's like, that crop top's so cute, like that little kid size. And there's this older guy working behind, you know, and I don't know if he was single or married. He was way past his prime.
Yeah.
And Kaylee's got a sweater on. So she's like a nice, like a zip up sweater in the front. And then she's got this white crop top with no bra on underneath.
No, I had a bra, but it was one of the Skims ones. So it's really thin.
Oh, okay. Really thin. Like, where I'm going with this is just going to light up everybody. And so she starts looking. So can you hand me that shirt? And it's like a kid's, what, like small or something?
It was a kid's like 9 or 10.
Okay. Well, there you go. So the point is like this woman can fit a kid's shirt, first of all, which is mind blowing. And the guy was trying to help her size it. And he goes, well, what size are you? And Kaylee pulls back her sweater and like pokes at her chest a little bit and goes, size this. And the poor guy just is like, uh-huh. And you can just see him.
He was really friendly.
And in my head, I'm like, put a fork in him. He's done. Yeah. Like this old guy will never be the same. And we, you know, Kaylee ends up buying the shirt and we walk away. And I just looked at her, I'm like, that man will never be the same after this moment. She's like, what are you talking about? And I told her that moment. She goes, that's so funny. And you said something so interesting. You're like, I forget that men view me sometimes as sexual. She goes, I just see myself as like a nerdy social outcast.
Yeah.
Which is mind-blowing to me.
And that's one of the reasons I kind of related to Marilyn, was because she would turn it on.
Whenever she needed to.
When she needed to. But like, really, I'm like a little bit aspy and like a little unaware. You know what I mean?
It's so crazy.
Yeah, when I'm walking around in the world and I'm talking to people, I'm talking to them and like thinking they see, like they're not judging me based on the way I look. So I'm thinking we're like talking like two souls. And then my dude will say stuff like, you don't understand what you look like or like what you come off like to people, you know? And so
it's striking. It's wild.
And I think I'm kind of disconnected from that part of it unless I'm putting myself into it.
A good thing though, because you're trying to, you're consciously trying to have a real connection with somebody.
Yeah.
Rather than using like what God gave you, like in your looks to connect, which a lot of women will do. Like they'll try to make that first connection through their looks.
Yeah, and
you're actually trying to be a human.
It's hard.
No shade to any other women. Yeah.
it's hard sometimes to like, when you think you're having a moment, like even in the Uber on the way here, I thought I was having a moment with that guy.
Oh yeah. Tell that story.
He was like, that's interesting. In his 50s, and he was really, really nice. And he's telling me how he had two near death experiences. And, you know, and of course I've been on my whole like God thing. And I'm like, you know, I'm thinking, oh my God, Jesus put me in the right car. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, I'm talking to this person right
Jesus.
Now. Yeah. So about Jesus. So like, and then he's telling me all this stuff and I'm like, this is amazing. And I'm like so enthralled. And I forgot for a minute that the way he probably saw me walking up and he sees like, oh, pretty girl. I had like a Lamborghini in the driveway, everything. And I was like, why does he keep telling me that he's the top sports guy? He started like telling me all these things like over and over again about how he's the top this, he's the top that, he's doing that. And I was like, oh, the human in him was coming out. The man in him was coming out. The ego was coming out. And then he was taken away from all these beautiful things that I actually wanted to hear. And
about his like near death experiences.
Yeah, I wanted to know. And I'm like, what did you see? Like, he's like, I had a life review, all this stuff. I'm like, you know, like, this is amazing. And like, the things that I was valuing, I don't care what you do. And he's like, yeah, well, sometimes people look at me and then like they see like that I'm a bum or something, but I'm not. I'm like, you're talking to the wrong person. I'm like, for one, like, I literally am in the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. Like, I literally look at people, I see their soul. Like, I don't, I the people I looked up to when I was in AA, like, were like homeless that came off the streets and had 30 years of sobriety. You know what I mean? So like for me, I'm like, bro, like you're talking to the wrong person. Go back to the other cool stuff you were talking about. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. But I got it and I kind of had to stop. I started to judge him a little bit and then I was like, oh, I'm judging. You know what I mean? Because that, and so I was like, all right, he's just being human and he's feeling insecure and he's trying to prove that he can talk to me. And so I was just like, I had to kind of like disarm him a little bit. I'd be like, you're talking, hard. Like, I don't care about that stuff.
Yeah.
You know? Men, a lot of men that like are, I don't want to say not, no shade to the Uber driver, but that like aren't successful, mm-hmm. you know, they're always feeling like they have to make themselves sound successful or make up excuses for the reasons that they're not. And obviously he's driving an Uber, so he's not anywhere.
He said he was driving the Uber because he literally wanted to bring people like the message kind of thing. So there was a part of me that was like, hey, maybe he's on some like, you know, street preacher stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I thought it was kind of cool. I can't judge him. I don't know. Maybe he is doing well. Maybe he was like, damn, hot chick here. The one time a hot chick's here and I'm driving an Uber, it looks bad. You know what I mean? I don't know. But like, I just kind of was like, all right, I'll just take the nice stuff he was talking about and just leave that at the door. Cause everyone's human. Nobody's going to be perfectly what you expect them to be.
Have you had any near death experiences?
I OD'd like a couple times.
Oh my God.
But I didn't see anything. So I don't think I died. I think I almost died.
You're just close.
That close.
Because I like literally couldn't, I couldn't breathe. I was breathing really slow. And I couldn't take in breaths.
Were you conscious when that was happening?
I was like half conscious and I was like I was taking a breath in every like minute. Ooh. It felt like I was so repressed. My system. And I was like, oh, this is it. Like I knew. Yeah. But I was like, okay with it because I really didn't, I was praying about that.
What substance were you on when?
Heroin.
Heroin.
When I OD'd, I was on heroin, Xanax, and Somas.
Another God, muscle relax. Oh. Back in the day.
Yeah. And to put that all together, you know what I mean? Wow. You're talking about like a depressed, you know, respiratory system to the point where you could just stop breathing.
Yeah. Somas alone will do that too.
So I was sitting there and I was like, I don't think I'm going to make it. I think I'm just going. And then I don't remember if Delphine took the cocaine or I grabbed it or something. I don't think I was able to grab it. I was like so out of it. And I said something like, you need the coke, like to wake
bring
me up.
Your system up.
Yeah. And I think she may have given it to me and enough to where I was able to come up.
Oh,
like
kind of
like a little wake up. And then another time I OD'd and I was doing a bachelor party and I'd taken a bunch of Norcos and Xanax and everything else. And then I was walking out of the, I was like, I feel really weird. Like I just didn't feel right. Mm-hmm. And I think I was on like Norco number 40 that day, you know?
Oh my God.
And then I got to the trash can. It was in a nice hotel too. And we're at the bottom of the thing and the trash can was there. And I just started vomiting in the trash can and like by the valet and they're all looking at me, all these like nice cards and stuff. And then I was throwing up everywhere. I couldn't stop throwing up. And then my friend put me in her car and I was throwing up in her car and I was pissing myself while I was throwing up. And I did that the whole way home. She had to put like bags under me and like, she's like hosing me off and stuff. And like, I just was, and that night I got brought into my room and I was like, oh, okay, I'm probably not going to wake up tomorrow. This, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Like, you know, if you close your eyes, it's over.
Yeah. And I did, I went to sleep. And I woke up after that and I was like, where's my heroin?
So wait, that
what?
Was your,
yeah.
Wow, that was your, so you said that was your second OD. What, now that was the last time you dabbled with favors or did you?
No, I woke up and I did a hit.
So you did?
Yeah.
When did, you're sober now, when was the last visit with any party favors at all?
When I got arrested in 2011.
Oh, it's been a
long
time.
And that's what you just posted about. Just saw that post.
That was my mugshot.
Which is...
That was another...
That was one of our photos we're going to ask.
And that detox was the worst thing I've ever experienced in my life.
Like, how long did it take to detox?
It took me a full week because I was smoking it. So it was stuck in my system, which I guess if you shoot it up, it's less of a detox. It's worse in a lot of ways, but the detox isn't as bad because it's cleaner.
Okay.
It goes through you. Apparently when you smoke it, it goes in your lungs. It goes in your, it's just everywhere. You know, it's really, really, you know, when I walked into jail, the girls were like, oh, what do you smoke it? Or you shoot it? I was like, well, I smoke it. And the girls were like, oh, you're in for a ride. And I was
no shit.
Great. And so, and then on top of that, I have the MTHFR mutation, the gene mutation.
Yeah.
So I didn't know about that until later in life, but it makes everything, your detox pathways even slower.
Right.
So I had like the worst detox a human could possibly have. Like it was like made train spotting look like Disneyland.
Oh,
you know, like,
wow.
So I was
oh my God.
Yeah. I was hallucinating. I was throwing up, every minute pretty much for like days.
I
almost died in jail from malnourishment. I couldn't even get a drop of fluid down in my mouth. Like my bunkie called.
Okay, wait, you were in jail just detoxing with nobody to help you.
Yeah, no one was there to help me.
Because that was my next question. I'm like, if you're throwing up that much, like you're dehydrated, your system.
No, I was dying, like fully. Like a girl actually died of it right after I left jail. I found out a girl died in the same jail, OCJ, from detoxing, and she from the same thing.
Oh my God.
And they were suing or something like that. But yeah, my bunkie was like, there's a little button when you're in your cell, and they say, do not push it. It's only to be pushed if someone's literally dying. She pushed it three times when I was there. Huh. And she lived there. That was her.
Oh, she's that like, was just her. She was literally
like,
I've
never pushed this. She's like, this girl is going to die. Like, and they're like, she's just a junkie. Let her fucking get it out, whatever.
No.
So she's like, well, she's soaked all the bedding, you know? So then they brought me, they made me come down, wash off my bedding and then get more bedding. Came back up. I soaked through it again. And so she just hurt. Like I puked in the middle of the night while I was trying to sleep. And it came down the wall under her bedding. Yeah. And she was like, and they're like, you're really fucking with this girl. She lives here. You're so disrespectful. And I was like, like literally dying. You know what I mean? And so like, I basically, they took all the bedding and they put me on the floor. They took my clothes
and
I was naked.
You're sleeping on concrete?
Naked on concrete, puking into a toilet.
No way.
Yeah. And it was like, I was like, well, this is, I mean, it was freezing. You know what I mean?
Kaylee.
It was crazy.
There's rock bottom and then there's literally sleeping
on
concrete.
And then there's
concrete.
That.
Yeah.
There's whatever that was.
That.
But I'm glad that happened because I'm the kind of person that just does not put something down easily. You know what I mean?
Like,
I needed to be terrified. And honestly, I was ready to get high, like out of jail. Like I was when I got out of jail, I was like, oh, I'm not doing that again. But I was like, fuck this. I want to get high. But my mom was there and she was like ready to, she's like, no, we got to take you to a program or something. But she didn't really know where to take me. And I'm going to have drug court, all this stuff. And I was going to end up at like revolving door situation.
Oh no.
So I was already pretty much kicked out of the apartment. I mean the house. And Delphine was already going to a rehab place. And so it was like, and Delphine was like, if we're going to be together, you need to get help too. Cause I don't want to live like this.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right. And so then we went to Orange County and I was detoxing in a hotel there with my mom. She met somebody downstairs who said, you should go to this place called the Rock Center. And so we went to the Rock Center and then I went there. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't it. I still like, I did bath salts in rehab. I did stupid shit. You know what I mean? Like I was not fully let go of, and I, in my head, I was like, I'm not ever going to be fully sober. You know what I mean?
Oh, you didn't believe it could happen?
Mm-mm. Well, I also didn't really want to. I wasn't committed. And they were telling me that like they were going to 5150 me at one point because of the self-harm, stuff like that. You know, I was like putting lighters out of my arms and stuff. I was like crazy. So there was just a lot of crazy stuff going on. And
what was like the major turning point? What was the pivotal moment?
I can't even remember what it was because they... They said, fake it till you make it kind of thing. I'm like, all right, whatever. I have to do this anyways. I don't know.
It just kind of slowly, moved away from it.
I started getting sponsored. They said we had to get a sponsor. We had to work the steps. That was part of how we graduated.
Okay.
Which was a good thing because a lot of people don't do that. They white knuckle it. You know what I mean? So I got a sponsor and then she was as crazy as me. I had BPD. She had BPD or bipolar. She had bipolar. Yeah. I had borderline and, you know, NPD and all this stuff. And like, you know,
you got the blind leading the blind at this point.
No, it was good.
Wait, really?
Yeah, because she was sober and she did really well. So it was like,
so she understood where you were coming from.
Yeah, she understood me and I kept her for a long time. And you know, it was weird. It's just one day. That's how I know it's God.
I'm just
it's not
ask
because
this.
My
it's about Jesus.
My best. Yeah. So about Jesus. So my best thinking and who I am kept me in literally the pit. And I was like, and I liked being a dope fiend. I like kind of glamorized it in a way, even though it was depressing. And I just kind of, it was part of my identity. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So like,
there it is.
Yeah. It was like, this is who I am. Who am I without this? Like I'm the crazy one. Even when my friends didn't believe me for like a year that I was sober, they're like, no, what are you like really doing though? And I was like,
like Kaylee the dope fiend.
There's
no
way you're not a little bit of cocaine. Like for me, sober was bumps of cocaine throughout.
Yeah.
So I was like,
I relate to that.
Yeah. So I literally was like,
yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I relate to that.
Yeah, it's coming like having from, a cigarette.
I've never done,
you know what I mean?
Anything but weed. So it's,
so, yeah.
So yeah, I was basically like
having not, a cigarette.
Yeah.
Key bump.
Oh no, I would dip the cigarette in the thing.
Yeah. Like, Cocoa
honey,
puffs.
I loved it.
Yeah.
It
so,
was the, it was the, like you said, glamorized.
Yeah. We glamorize it. You don't, and you don't want to be the sober person. Like you're no. like, this sucks.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
I, you know, now I'm not going to be cool anymore. You know, and then I realized I wasn't that cool.
Yeah, to begin with.
And then I was like, you know, it's one of those things that I was like, damn, there is no way I would have made up my mind to do this.
Yeah.
No way. Like I was, I told people, if you ever send me to rehab, I'm disowning you. Get the fuck away from me. I'm dying a dope fiend. Like that's how serious I was. So my thinking is, this is who I am. I'm going to die this way. So you tell me how I came up all of a sudden with being sober and living the rest of my life sober.
Yeah.
Here's the $1 million question. What started it?
Huh?
What started it? What started you down that path in the first place?
I think I was just, well, I think it's because I'm like not very social. Mm-hmm. And I also had a lot of like depression and stuff like that and sadness and trauma and all those things that kind of like perpetuated that. And I just wanted to lock myself away. I didn't get along with anybody. I already felt like an outsider all the time.
You were saying that from a very young age, right?
And, yeah. And they talk about it in AA where you're like, mm-hmm. I have arrived, you know? Mm-hmm. So like my mom pushed me out of the house one day because she was like, you have to stop just sitting in your room writing poetry. And I was like in there in my room, like cutting my, you know, making cuts and like writing poetry. I was just like a really like angsty. And she's like, come on, like go with your friends, go like to a party, do something. Well, I went to a party and I found like social. I found how to be social, you know. Yes. I remember I was like having a cigarette and they had nitrous tanks and like I had a drink and I was
that
like
that was a thing. I remember that.
Yeah, and I was like, this is like amazing. Like this is all because right then all that dopamine that I was lacking, all that serotonin, all that connection was all at once in like a powder keg and it was just like now I've arrived.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then that's how it all started. And then it started for me and it just never ended. And it just kept getting worse mm-hmm. because the only way for me to feel good is by using something. It was my medicine. Like it was like being on medication.
So you're just burying whatever you hadn't dealt with yet.
Yeah. And just like, you know, fixing my messed up chemicals and stuff in my brain.
Yes.
Until obviously I got sober and then I was crazy sober for a long time. But
wait, when you say crazy sober,
meaning like I was sober. But still, I was diagnosed with personality disorders and I had all these issues. And then I met a guy named Glenn Cohen, who I did like a bunch of work with.
This is the spiritual guy.
He's not spiritual. He's more about like, he's more about hacking your brain. Like it's a computer and trauma and stuff. He's a life coach. And I worked with him and he helped me heal my nervous system. And the more healed my nervous system is, the more like, I literally, all the BPD stuff that I had went away.
Wow.
All the NPD, all the narcissism, all that stuff that like I've been battling with my whole life went away. I stopped being unhappy. Like it was crazy. Like,
huge.
And so then the closer I got to like healing with that, the closer I get to God. And so I'm like, oh, so this is, you go down the rabbit hole and this is always at the bottom.
I love that.
You know what I mean? So, you know, it doesn't matter. Obviously God gives you these tools to be able to heal yourself.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't think I did it. I think that God sent Glenn to me.
Right.
And he gave him his tools and he taught me his tools. And through God, this happened.
You know, we looked at the mugshot and we were looking at some of your other photos. And even last night, like we were standing at Thunder Mountain, you and I were talking and we mentioned how much, like your mom was here. Aaron was there. And we're looking at your photos and we're just like, you've reversed aged.
It's
during this process.
I think I've softened a lot, like my soul. I feel like you could just see, you know, you see people that lived a hard life internally. You just start seeing it on their face.
Yes.
You know, and then you see people who like get sober and they start being really healthy and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's not just about their lifestyle changes. It's like a soul thing.
Yeah. Well, you exude, there's this energy about you and you just exude like a very, it's a calming peace. And there's we call it in, I guess, I don't know what business, like in wrestling, we call it the undefinable it factor. Mm-hmm. And there's just there's it. You have it. There's something about you that's magnetic that draws people to you. And just like, it's almost like a curiosity. Like, what is it about you? And
so
like,
anyways, about Jesus.
So about Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. It always circles back.
That's what it is.
There it is, girl.
I was telling Gabby in one of our episodes, we talked about faith. And I'm 9 months into my sobriety now, just hit 9 months. And I've always grown up, it was always a choice for my parents, like, to go to church and, you know, do what you want. They grew up their way and they did it, but they didn't force me into anything. So I hear you talking about it, and it's like, in my 9 months, I've never felt closer to God than I have. And I've, by choice, gone back to church. By choice, I've been rereading the Bible in different languages and understanding the
reality of it, yes, and discernment from what it actually was from God and not from man.
Yes. So it's really interesting to hear, because I feel like people that have had challenges with any substance abuse, you know, they do end up going back into their psyche or faith. And so for that, is that a big focal point for you now? Is your faith where you're at now? Is that where you're at?
Huge. Like,
yes.
Yeah. And I think it'll get better for you even more. You'll start, the longer you stay sober, the more your relationship is going to, it flourishes and it starts. It's just like anything you put effort into, because when you're using, your connection with God separates.
Yes.
And then when you stop using, it's like you just started dating someone. If you're always distant, your relationship can't grow. It can't flourish.
Yeah.
So I think the longer you stay sober, the more you're going to see that relationship's going to change, and the more you're going to literally recoil from the idea of taking anything.
Oh, I love that.
It's refreshing, right?
It is refreshing, because I do challenge myself to go into environments that once were environments that, you know, like for me, I love music festivals. I love electronic music. I love culture. Drugs are always it's the epicenter of it all.
You have to be careful with that stuff. You know what they say in the program, you stay in a barbershop long enough, you're going to get your hair cut eventually.
Oh.
So,
ooh, girl.
Are you working a program?
No, I'm doing it all on my own. I like woke up, I was telling Delphine this story. I actually, every year, my friends and I, we go to these things. That's why I said I challenged myself kind of to do these, but I stopped cold turkey. I woke up my 40th birthday kind of concept, and I said, I just don't want to do this anymore. I didn't enjoy the last time I did it. I'm going to use this as
it was right after a big event, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And that was it. I just said I didn't. And like, I have no interest. Like, I've been around it, like even in like, you know, more intimate environments. I just don't. And I always say, it's God.
It sounds like a spiritual reversal. I talk about that in the big book, where basically, like, you know, you kind of surrender it and you have a full spiritual reversal and God can remove it for you. But if you ever start to feel like you're struggling or you feel like you're going that direction, I highly recommend trying to work through some of the stuff that had you using in the first place. Because what we actually are doing is, you know, drugs and alcohol aren't the problem. They're the solution, right? So there's something there that had you feeling like you had to either numb or deal or whatever it is. And in the program, you know, in working the steps, you're able to go through and find out what that was and kind of forgive and do all these things to get through it so that you can say, like, have spiritual sobriety is what they call it, you know, like emotional sobriety. So you're not just white knuckling it and like, you're in control, because when we're in control, what happens, you know?
Yeah.
it's change in gender.
You have one bad day, right? Like, somebody dies, something happens, yeah, life happens, yeah, you know? And then you're like, well, I know it makes me feel better.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Oh, I love this. This is really cool, because we didn't get a chance to talk about that yesterday. Mm-hmm. So, and it was something Delphine and I definitely spoke about, and it's really moving now, because I'm hearing a lot of God's name a lot. Everywhere I go lately, it's God everywhere. And it's so moving. I just went to my first worship event, which was that was epic for me, because I left so healed. And that's what's important. That was very important for me walking in. I prayed before I went in, like, this is what I wanted from it. And I keep feeling it, and I feel like I keep getting closer, having this moment with you, which, you know, you started off Pamela Anderson, Jenny McCarthy and such. And now I always say it back goes circles back to God. And this is
so cool. Mugshot, slash it or stash it.
Oh, I want to keep it.
Keep it. Yay! She's going to stash it.
She's stashing it. Well, that's what's really cool about that.
Yeah, never forget where you come from.
That's right.
Yeah, it's like everything that's happened up until this moment has made us exactly who we are today. And without those experiences, like, you wouldn't be who you are, right? You wouldn't have the knowledge, and you wouldn't be able to sit down next to somebody and be like, it's about Jesus.
Yeah.
What else you got in your stash, Mickey?
Well, I do have right now, this is, so Gabby and I, as we were talking, I said to her, I said, you know, there's something that's moving to me. And we brought it up a little bit ago, and it's really exciting to me. But who's this girl?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
we
yeah.
We found the Playboy cover.
Oh, yeah. That was, I mean, it's not the U.S. Playboy.
What is it?
It's a, I was in Playboy Sweden, Playboy South Africa, stuff like that.
Oh God, like, let's not downplay that you're still on the cover of Playboy. That's like iconic as fuck.
It is a cool, I just wanted to do it. I wanted to like have a Playboy with me on it, but like, you know, it's a.
Put a tiara on your head. Let's go, girl.
but yeah, it's a, it, that was a time. I was going through a lot during that time. It was, okay. Yeah, so.
Was that pre-sobriety?
No. It was post sobriety. But I was going through like a crazy breakup and stuff like that. Okay. And so, and then I was coming into a new relationship, the one I'm in now. And I was just like going through so much that like, I was probably at my most unhinged era, just disconnected era. You know what I mean?
Oh,
Even since I had gotten sober, you know?
So when you say like, disconnected, you mean disconnected emotionally?
Yeah. Or? I didn't feel anything. Like,
oh,
I was completely triggered all the time, completely stressed, just like not knowing, just not, I had no connection. I was like completely, and I had it when I'd gotten sober. I was doing pretty good in the relationship, but I had made the relationship kind of my idol a little bit.
Mm.
And so when that was ending, I literally couldn't handle it. Like it was like, and that's how, you know, you have
that
to
was
put.
It? You so what did that cover? Like, what did it do for you in the moment? You said you felt like you needed it, like in the moment.
Well,
like, what
I felt,
was it doing for
it
you?
It was making me feel abandoned. It was making me feel like I.
The cover was?
Oh, the cover?
Yeah.
Oh, no. The cover. No, the cover was cool. I just wanted to do it, you know, and I was trying to build a brand. And all the girls were kind of like, you know, getting on, doing like the Maxim and Playboy thing.
Right.
And like, so I was just trying to figure out how to build a brand and trying to be smart about it. I put everything into work at that time. I was just there like, fuck it. I'm just going to. That's numb it that way.
Okay.
Become a workaholic a little bit.
I mean, that's a thing.
Yes, but
that's
it's
a
so
thing.
Cool.
I do that. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
I know how to, I bury everything in work. I'm like,
oh,
yeah. I'm like, I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Let's just go work more. It's fine.
That's so what we easy. Were talking about with the Playboy. We were saying like, this is definitely a mogul move. This is a business move. And to see Viking Barbie, that's your brand.
Yeah, in order to get my Instagram, because this is before before you could pay to get verified.
Well, those were the good old days.
Yeah, so when I was trying to get my verification, I needed to have publications. I needed to like, you know, be somebody, you know?
Yes.
And now like I've got a ton of stuff because I do music, I do that, I do like, the, you know, it's all like, you know, so I was able to get verified having a bunch of publications and
that
stuff.
I saw, I don't know if it was that post, but you said something in one of your Instagram posts from way back when. It was like, I woke up this morning with the blue check. It's like, what a moment.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal.
Yeah. At the time I was like, really, I mean,
for it cost somebody $10.
It's pretty crazy. Like, how far things have come. And it's kind of cool that I think being grateful the whole way through was what keeps me getting more, you know
it
what I mean?
It puts you in a different state. It really does. I've had moments in my life where, and I'm sure you can relate, where like you're grateful for a while and you've got this, like your heart just feels so full and you feel like everything radiating from that area. And then something, you know, you let yourself get thrown out of gratefulness and suddenly everything just falls off track. And like all the progress you were making in like your life and all in business and everything, it just like, it goes to shit. And you're like, what the fuck happened? And you get sucked down this like rabbit hole again. And suddenly you realize, oh, I'm not grateful anymore for the things that I have and what I've, like how far I come. We forget like along the way to just stop and celebrate where we came from.
Yeah.
Which hence, you know, the mugshot, you're keeping it. And then now with the
Playboy
the cover, are you slashing?
I keep all my, you can't get me to get rid of anything.
I love this.
Yeah. And the thing is too, like the gay boy in me, right? Again, Jenny McCarthy, this is, I meeting you and seeing the Playboy for me. Like we saw the Playboy last minute and I was like, that's that bitch right there. I was like so excited for you just seeing this, like recognizing you yesterday and then seeing this like moment of like, wow, this bitch has done it all. She has done it. And now she's stashing it Yeah. She's stashing.
Yeah, I think it's got a lot to do with authenticity. Like, yeah, you're such an authentic person.
There's nothing that I've done, even the worst things, you know what I mean? Yeah. That I would probably change, because it's literally like every, like, what if I took that one thing away and it was like the butterfly effect?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so I think about that all the time. I'm like, would I take, oh, that was so painful. Would I take, I'm like, no, because then maybe I wouldn't have learned this, or maybe I wouldn't have gotten to the point I am now spiritually, or maybe I wouldn't, you know, I'm good. I'll keep it all.
I love it. Yeah.
Okay. And then
my
last one, which you kind of touched base on, which is something that I love. I'm a music whore.
Okay.
So something I discovered about this very single.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. That one's the one that made me the most money. Like, it did the best.
I mean, first of all, Gabby was
2 million streams on Spotify and like 5 million something, 5.4 on YouTube.
Yeah, like, I mean, it didn't even like, it went viral like on TikTok, like really viral, like the one clip of it. And then it just kind of started going.
It was incredible.
Yeah, and I love that song. It's
we have Calm Kaylee in the studio today, but I watched the video.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Who's this bitch? So like, wait a second.
That was pre-Glenn.
Oh,
that was authentic. Authentic rage.
Yeah, well, that was bad wild. Bitch era of your life.
Yeah. Definitely some bad bitch moves. Boss bitch stuff, too. It was crazy. I am so impressed because, you know, when we first met, I had no idea that you were a vocalist, that you had all this other talent. And as, you know, the more that I've gotten to know you, it's just it's impressive, it's encouraging, it's astounding. And I look at all the things that you were, that you are now. And it's just like, is there anything you haven't done yet? Like, what is next on the list
for
Kaylee?
Four guys at the same time.
Oh!
Well, I think that's on my list too.
Boys, we need to get on Grind Her.
Do we have a Grind Her?
No, I want to create it.
Okay, are there's we your next entrepreneurial endeavor.
Everyone's going to steal it now.
I always think everyone wants to steal my ideas. My boyfriend's like, no one's taking that.
Okay, like, well, no one's taking it.
But then I thought I came up with the double-headed dildo. And turns out it was already a thing. I was like 10. I was like, wait a minute.
You know,
you get two sides. Yep. Just hear me out.
The old joke.
And they're like, that's already a thing. And I was like a kid. I was like, oh.
Damn it.
No, I definitely, anything I haven't done, I don't know. I just like, if ever I get like a whim, I'm like, I want to do that. That sounds fun.
And just go.
And I'm kind of like one of those people that like I get into, like, if I'm watching a movie or something, I'm like, that looks cool. I could do that. You know? You just want to do it. And I get made fun of by my boyfriend, of course. he's like, are you putting yourself in this position right now while we're watching the vampire movie? Are you a vampire right now?
You're like, that's doing it.
I am a vampire.
A little did you know.
Yeah. It's just funny.
So no big massive things on the radar for you that you're like big pivotal moments.
Investments. I want to do like more just more business bitch stuff.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Small we love that.
I would like to put out some more music, maybe a different type.
Okay.
I've been like, you know, I do hip hop a lot. I love to rap, but I also love to sing, and maybe I'll do a little like some covers and stuff. Maybe some more like
you did the
spiritually uplifting
cover.
Things rather than, you know, my I'll kill a man. For some reason, every time I would write, it was always like my girlfriend. I'd be like, okay, we're killing another dude in this. And I was like, it was just me always killing a guy. And I was like, I think I have some like rage against men or something.
There's a little dark in there.
Yeah, but it kind of went away when I healed. And now I'm not mad at him anymore. And I love men.
Now what do I sing about?
Yeah.
I would love to see like the Viking Barbie worship single.
About Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute.
I don't know if it'd be like full like that. Like, I think I just did like uplifting, I guess. So
yeah.
I have a thing
Something
where I want to be able to influence people that like aren't already influenced.
Okay.
Like, you know, like kind of like how JC was, you know, around the people like me, you know, like people that are already standing in a church or they're already in a spiritual place. They're already there. They're already looking. They're already finding it. It's when you're standing in front of the people that are lost.
Yes.
Right. You know, so if you're constantly pushing something in people's face that like feels like church or this or that, like I feel like it's like
instant turn.
Yeah. And then the judgment and the shame and then this. And it's like, no, that's not what it's about. You know, like put that stuff aside and like just like open your heart and your ears and like hear those similarities and like really, really like resonate with the right things, you know? So if I was going to sing, stuff. I'd probably cover things that are like a little more vague, not so like in your face, but more, yes. You know, I just want to like do something that that doesn't feel, people don't feel like they're being pressured.
Right.
I want people to be drawn, like attracted.
Well, I love it. We were listening to your Creep cover with Jelly, and like you and Jay, your cover was, not only was it moving, if you really just paint yourself in the picture of life and you think of the song and you think of the lyrics, that was deep. So you're already on that path.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I mean in that vein. Like that song Creep can be seen as like, it's a place that you're resonating with people that feel that way. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then like, I don't know this. It's, I really love that song.
Well, I mean, everything from gagging on hot dogs to mug shots to...
I do it all.
Listen.
What did you say? Jack of all trades.
And you know what? Nobody... And that's one thing. Like, there's always going to be that judgment and stuff. There will be it in the comments. Oh, that's not how it works with what you do. Or that's not... And I'm like...
Please.
I know my place. I know where I'm at. Right. You know what I mean? And I'm not perfect. You know? And I'm getting better at certain things. But the reality is, like, I'm listening to what's leading me. Yes. I'm not listening to whatever you're doing, that's on you. You know what I mean? But like, I know I'm in the right place.
Yes,
if
you
could give, for the, as we close, if you can give one piece of advice to, you know, those people that aren't in church, the ones that you really want to reach, what would it be?
I would say just start small.
Start small.
You know, you don't have to walk into a building to find God.
I love that.
Beautiful. Love it.
It's simple.
And if everybody's looking to find you, where do they find you? Aside from our podcast.
Viking.Barbie on Instagram. I've got Viking Barbie Music on YouTube. Viking Barbie TV. Or no, I have Kaylee Swenson on Facebook.
You're around.
She's
easy to find.
Kaylee Swenson on Instagram. I have another Instagram.
Or just Hot Dog Girl.
Hot Dog Barbie.
I admire everything, all of your work, all of it, your throat. I meant that in
some
the
of us are envious.
Wait a minute, not just the hot dog, but your beautiful voice.
Thank you.
I love, okay, maybe your throat too. I do love your skills on the no gag. And we will talk about that another time, but I really do. I admire your work. You really are crafting a beautiful piece of canvas. And I can't wait to see what you create next.
It's going to be amazing. Thank you, Kaylee. We love you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me on.
Glam and Guts out.